All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Sandy Williams is in the studio. It's always great to have Sandy. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, our last caller, Robert, you know, I always love Robert's perspective on things. But he, even as bright as he is, he's saying we need to get in this. We need to get at this.
Well, I don't think it's a question of intelligence, quite frankly. I think it's just a question of experience. And then, you know, the United States, each country feeds its citizens the information that they want to feed them. And it's very hard to step back and try and get a perspective that's unstained by the information that you're getting. And we're all required to be patriots, and most of the litmus for patriotism, other than standing up and singing the Star Spangled Banner, is abiding by the foreign policies that we don't know anything about. So, you know, that to me is one of the travesties of the world. But good people, some of the best people who really want to do the right thing, are doing the right thing, they think, when they abide by, you know, the view of the world that is presented to them by their country. And it's more than that, too. I mean, it is complicated, and foreign policy is very complicated. But what we should all realize is that committing people to war, committing soldiers to war, is a horrifying prospect. And we wouldn't talk about it lightly if we had more thought process going into just what it means and what kind of commitment level we ought to have. And so my problem with Robert is talking about providing air cover. Air cover, that's no different than putting boots on the ground. That's just putting boots in the sky. Okay?
Right.
And boots in the sky is probably, in many ways, a more threatening and aggressive act than boots on the ground. And so air cover isn't something to be taken lightly at all. And air cover could well result in actions that we would not like. An attack on Poland to take it over? No. But an attack on U.S. air bases in Poland? Absolutely. I mean, if you're being attacked in the air by airplanes that are flying from bases that are not located in the country that's at war but at neighboring countries, if you're the country being attacked, you'll probably fire some missiles in the direction of the air base to disable those flights so that you don't have to worry about them.
You know, Sandy, this conversation from the perspective of what you were just giving is what is really Joe Biden's the folk who are representing Joe Biden are saying exactly what you're saying. It's more complicated than any of you can imagine. You want us to go in and get involved in something that we can never get out of. So the wars we were in Afghanistan and Iraq, we didn't suffer heavy casualties in those wars because we were so much more powerful than them, and we could, the bombardment that we hit them with, never, once our troops went in, you know, it was basically mopping up.
Well, let's talk about bombardment, though. The bombardment is the kind of thing that we're now accusing Russia of doing. You know, when you carpet bomb, when you heavily bombard, that has a less than sterile approach to attacking military targets. I think we probably did do a fair amount of effort in those wars to attack only military targets, but there clearly was lots of collateral damage
that was never shown or talked about.
Right. And so, you know, when you said that Biden is basically tacitly saying it's too complicated to tell us about it, more than we can ever know, that's the problem with foreign affairs, is that's the way our leaders have always dealt with it since World War II and before World War II. Like, we know things you don't know. We know things you can't know, meaning the intelligence.
And you don't need to know.
And you don't need to know, because trust us, we're doing the right thing.
Right.
And, of course, that trusting us got us into Vietnam.
Right.
And that trusting us got us into Iraq.
Right.
And that trusting us, well, we didn't even know about some of the adventures we had in South America, those things. We'd wake up in the morning and read about it in the newspaper.
Right. So you know, Sandy, it becomes more and more and more that every morning we wake up, there's going to be even more outrageous things that we see and think about in the 24-hour news, that we get to see more and more people who may not have been willing to say let's get at this, announcing, let's get at this?
Well, and the world, it's going to get much more complicated in the Donbas region of Ukraine. Donbas has many, many Russian speakers. Donbas had a referendum. Some people would say it was a staged referendum, at sort of, people allege it was essentially at gunpoint by Russia. But the Donbas regions, Luhansk and Donetsk, voted in favor of essentially seceding from Ukraine because they were leaning in the direction of Russia, and they now have Russian-leaning governments. Russia has substantially occupied the Donbas now during this war, so that the war in Donbas is going to be different. In Kyiv, the war was the Russians trying to unseat the Ukrainians and chase them out of a city like Kyiv, so they were attacking the city. In the circumstance of Donbas, it's going to be Ukraine that's going to have to attack the cities in order to move the Russians out of their occupation, which they're now occupying. Further, it's complicated by the fact that the stories coming out of the Donbas region are quite mixed. That is where the Azov Battalion has been active. The Azov Battalion is acknowledged to be a super right-wing neo-nationalist outfit. It's sort of a renegade in terms of the amount of control that the Ukrainian government is able to exert over it. And, you know, the Russian story coming out of Donbas is that it's that Azov Battalion that's doing lots of the stuff that's getting now pictured as being done by the Russians. This morning on BBC, there was a family that was being interviewed talking about the horror they've experienced in the Donbas region, and it was a Ukrainian family, and they said that their Russian-speaking Ukrainian friends were telling them that this was all being done by essentially thugs who were Ukrainians fighting them. So the stories are, and when you have a war and you have atrocities, it's important that there be an investigation to figure out just how the atrocities occurred.
Sandy, let me ask you, if because our nation is a melting pot and that there are probably many Ukrainians here, and the fact that there's the Jewish people tied into this in both Russia and Ukraine.
Right.
When you talk about complicated, that's part of it, right?
Well, it's very complicated because Ukraine itself has had a great deal of kind of latent, and there's been animosity between Russians outside of Ukraine and Ukrainian nationals, and in particular Western Ukrainian nationals. Ukraine's a complicated country. It's got a large Jewish population. It actually has a large Catholic population in Western Ukraine, and Eastern Ukraine is all Russian Orthodox or Jewish, and so it is complex, and Ukrainian nationalism is in fact a strong thread in the Ukrainian nation. It was all the way through the USSR period, and so this is complicated. And the question is not so much whether Ukraine has a nationalist view of itself. The question really is the geopolitical realities of that portion of Eurasia, and how much should the United States and the West be investing in trying to make sure that Ukraine does not become essentially allied with the Eurasian alliance, which is essentially centered by Russia. And that's the difficult part, venturing into another region like that and trying to establish a beachhead.
So we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, Sandy Williams is here. It's Friday. Man, you know, Sandy, your perspective on it just makes people think more than what we are getting normally. So it's always great to have you. Got to go to the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.